House Bill 3788. So you want to?
Sure. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Chair, members of the subcommittee, I've distributed for you today both the staff measure summary and the fiscal impact statement on House Bill 3788A engrossed, and I'll just briefly go over the fiscal impact statement for you. And this bill encompasses two policies related to energy which would become effective on passage. First, the bill amends the state's existing policies on energy efficiency and conservation in state buildings. The Office of Energy, in consultation with DAS and the Oregon University System, is directed to adopt rules implementing new design and construction standards. Construction or renovation of buildings after June 30th, 2001 must exceed building code energy conservation provisions by 20%, but rules may provide otherwise. Non-renewable energy use must also decline by 10% from the levels used in 2000, and agencies not meeting and maintaining this level after June 30th, 2003 must submit an energy conservation plan to Office of Energy. In terms of fiscal impact, DAS reports that incorporating the new conservation standards into an office building's project's initial development would not automatically cause that project's cost to increase. And fiscal savings resulting from conservation strategies cannot be prospectively quantified because of uncertain future cost per energy unit. And DAS did not identify any other direct fiscal impact. Based on prior capital construction activity, which already has included conservation and efficiency methods, the Oregon University System reports that the measure would add $15 million to its construction cost in the 2001-03 biennium and $25 million in 2003-05, assuming that projects in the design development phase prior to the passage of the measure would not be required to meet the new standard. And if they are required to do this, then the cost estimate by OES would increase an additional $20 million. The actual estimated effect on OUS could be mitigated through rules, but the extent of this mitigation is not known. The second policy, created by House Bill 3788A engrossed, establishes a siting process for a temporary energy generating facility and an expedited review process for applications for certain energy facility site certificates. A number of agencies are referenced in these sections. However, fiscal impact was reported to LFO only by the Department of Environmental Quality, and that's shown on the first page of your fiscal impact. LFO reduced DEQ's estimated expenditures for the reason noted in the fiscal impact statement, namely because of the limited time frame for DEQ staff work. Although a revenue source is not identified in the bill, Office of Energy and DEQ assert that under contract, site developers would provide the necessary funding referred to in sections 10 and 11 directly to DEQ. Finally, if as many as six contested cases were to result from Energy Facility Siting Council decisions under the new provisions, the State Court Administrator's Office estimates an impact of less than $20,000. And finally, in the impact statement in the last sentence, you'll see that it should be noted that the Administrator raises a question of the constitutionality of the legislature imposing a time limit on the judicial branch in which to render a decision as specified in Section 12.6.
Questions? Representative Patrick.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just wanted to comment. There was a lot of concern in the policy committee about the local hiring preferences and other things in regards to this bill. State Association of Electrical Workers, the Oregon Building Construction Trades Council, and National Electrical Contract Association has decided that they can, I guess, either support or be neutral on this bill without those provisions, but they remain concerned, as do I, that there are no preferences and there's no guarantees of state revenue being generated as a result of this.
Further discussion? We'll close the public hearing on House Bill 3788. Open the work session, House Bill 3788. To the recommendation to send it to full and to the floor.
H.B. 3788 to follow the full, do pass recommendation.
Senator Duncan moves House Bill 3788, be sent to the full committee with a recommendation that it be passed out to the floor with a do-pass recommendation. Discussion? Is there any objection? Hearing seen, none, so ordered. Carriers for full. Anybody interested? I'll carry it in full. And then we'll have, ask Representative Witt to carry it on the House floor.
Okay, Senate side?
Senate. Any carriers on the Senate side?
Carry.
Senator Yee will carry it. Okay.
I like energy.
Let's open a public hearing, House Bill 3977. Larry, you want to explain what we're looking at?
Chair Hill and committee members, today before you, House Bill 3977. This is the bill that relates to emergency communications that does a variety of things. I've placed before you a copy of a fiscal impact statement that, that summarizes the main points of the bill. It extends the sunset to December 31, 2003. Also, the bill establishes maximum expenditures from the emergency communications account at $56 million. Establishes a public safety consolidation incentive fund that would be funds where the funds collected above that would be put into that account for purposes of distribution by the next legislature as an incentive to consolidation. The bill also allows for a one-time use of approximately $1.75 million from the enhanced 911 sub-account to be used for a one-time purchase of communication equipment for the Central Communications Coordination Center. The bill contains provisions requiring the Secretary of State Divisions of Audits to conduct performance audits. There is a blank in the bill that relates to the percentage of the numbers of cities and counties that that would be required to be audited as a result of this bill that needs to be discussed. This bill relates to the budget. The funds are passed through the State Police Office of Emergency Management. When that budget was adopted, the limitations that were established in that budget were established in consideration up to the date of the sunset, which is 12/31. So listed on your fiscal impact statement are the other funds that would be necessary to continue the programs, both at OEM, funding of the equipment, as well as the pass-through funds from the sunset date through the end of the biennium. I've also attached to the fiscal impact statement a revenue statement, which shows the anticipated revenue from 12/31/2001 to the end of the biennium would be $39.9 million. And then the revenue in the 03/05 biennium, again, with the sunset, that only represents about 6 months' worth of revenue in 03/05. So, we have this bill before us today, and there are a number of amendments that were just provided to me that hopefully the sponsors can speak to, and I'll do my best, but I just got them.
It's the Chair's intention that we'll adopt the Dash 2 amendments today. We give an opportunity. Anybody, this has not had public hearing yet. If there's anyone who would like to testify on House Bill 3977, view that we'll adopt the Dash 2s. First, step up.
Thank you. Good morning, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. For the record, Hasina Squires on behalf of the Oregon Alconina and also the Special Districts Association of Oregon and the Oregon Fire District Directors Association. If it's the Chair's intention to adopt the Dash 2 amendments today, I just would like to make a few comments about the bill with the Dash 2 amendments. We strongly support the extension of the 911 tax, and this bill with the Dash 2 would extend the 911 tax until 2003. We'd also like to, on behalf of Alconina, express our appreciation to the chair of this committee for his willingness and ability to allow Oregon Alconina to participate collaboratively with him in developing the Dash 2 amendments, particularly the willingness of the chair to allow local primary public safety answering points the ability to, at the local level, determine what the consolidation plan would look like, rather than having State Police OEM develop that plan for them. The portion of the only portion of the legislation that is objectionable is the diversion of 911 tax dollars, $1.745 million, to the OSP emergency communications account to purchase, which I understand is to pay off debt service and free up some money in the general fund. To this date, none of the 911 revenue has ever been diverted for any other purpose other than funding primary public safety answering points and providing 911 services in the state of Oregon. We also support the bill with the dash 2 as it relates to AT&T Wireless's technical amendment to conform to the Federal Mobile Sourcing Act. We support the OEM's ability to develop a minimum standard through the administrative rulemaking process. We believe that that's essential. With the legislative intent that's contained in the language, that it is the legislature's intention to fund only one PSAP per county. We believe it's essential that any PSAP in the state maintain a minimum level of standard to prevent degradation to the statewide 911 service, and that is appropriate. We also support the random city-county auditing portion of this legislation, and I would just point out to the committee that on line 8 of the bill, with the dash 2 amendments, there is still a blank in the percentage distribution or the percentage of city.
You have a suggestion?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, I do not have a suggestion. Perhaps John Latimer from Secretary of State's Audits Division might have a better feel for what might be appropriate there. But we do support that. We believe that 911 dollars that are allocated to cities and counties ought to be spent for 911 purposes. And if it's the legislature's intention to move more towards a single PSAP per county, perhaps later in the future, it may be more efficient to send the money straight to the primary public safety answering point rather than distributing money to cities and counties who will then pass it on through to the PSAP. With that, I'd be happy to respond to any questions that you may have.
Any questions?
Mr. Chair.
Senator Duncan.
Senator, just if I had it correct, you like the dash 2 amendments as they are?
Mr. Chair, Senator Duncan, we do support the bill, House Bill 3977, with the dash 2 amendments, with the caveat that we do not support the $1.7 million one-time allowance.
Hey, all right, that's what I'm trying to.
That's kind of the bitter with the good.
Yeah, I understand.
Any further questions? Thank you.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, Ken Armstrong here representing Oregon Fire Chiefs Association and Oregon Volunteer Firefighters Association. Just want to say that we echo the comments of Ms. Squires and ditto everything she just said. So, thank you.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, if I just may add one thing, and Larry, just because I just got this fiscal, I just was looking through it, and I didn't see the section in here in the dash 2 amendments, and it's possible that I skipped over it, that deletes the funding in the 0103 biennium for Sherman, Gilliam, and Wheeler counties in this fiscal, and that is part of the dash 2 amendment.
Chair Hill, committee members, that's correct. This fiscal is based on the original bill. The dash 2s were delivered about 20 minutes ago, and it does not reflect that.
Any other questions?
Thank you.
Thanks.
John, you want to come up? Help us fill in a blank?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, for the record, I'm John Latimer, Director of the Audits Division. In terms of filling in the blank, it depends on what you want to accomplish. And the bill is not completely specific. Let me see if my assumptions about what you would want us to do are correct, and then I can help you with the blank. First of all, as I understand this program, the dollars are allocated from their state dollars allocated to these local units, and they're segregated, they're accounted for in separate accounts at the local level. In fact, the interest on that money has to go to those accounts. That's the, I spoke with the OEM this morning, and that's what I was led to believe. Also, so that makes it a little bit easier to audit, because if they are segregated funds, then it's easier to follow them. They're also, as I read the statute, they're very specific things these dollars are to be spent for. So there would be a compliance matter here that under the municipal audit law, the auditors of these counties' municipalities are supposed to check on compliance with expenditures. It would depend on the size of the account and whether it was a material to the financial statements of the local government. If you want us to go in and actually follow those dollars all the way to their ultimate expenditure and do testing to make sure they are in compliance with state law, that is kind of a medium way to approach this. And I think probably the fiscal impact that's in this statement is probably correct. If, in fact, as I think the original bill said, you want us to do performance audits, that's a different ball of wax, because a performance audit would ask us to look at the effectiveness and efficiency of the expenditure of those funds, not whether they were just spent according to the law. And that takes a lot more time. So then this fiscal would not be correct. There are a couple approaches. We can audit this through the OEM as state dollars going to the local governments. We can audit those dollars and we can follow and make sure they were spent in compliance with state law. Or we could have the private CPA firms enhance their audit to check specifically on compliance with this law. That would cost the locals because they pay for those audits. If we do it, it costs the state because it would come out of our assessment, which is spread over all state agencies. Now, with that said and those assumptions made, I think that the fiscal is pretty much correct in here. How many? It's kind of up to you on how significant you want our approach to be. Do you want us to just check generally to see whether these dollars are being spent properly, or do you want a random sample that is statistically significant? A statistically significant random sample would be about 20. So you're talking about 20 times the 7,800, or about 46, or about 156,000. Now, if you just want us to check a few of the big ones, and you wanted to put say 1% in here because you have a percent blank, 1% would be of the 58 systems would be about 6, and that would be a cost of about 46,800 or near 50,000. So kind of depends on how much coverage you want and the intention of the committee on checking on how these dollars are spent. Glad to answer any questions.
Any questions, John?
Mr. Chairman, John, do you have any idea what would be a statistically valid number of cities for you to do performance audit in order to have a general idea how well they are doing?
I'm assuming there are, as I understand, there are 58 of these systems. A statistically significant sample would be about 20. And it really doesn't matter if it gets bigger because in terms of the numbers of audited entities, you're still going to be around 20. I'm not sure, given what you want to know, that that's necessary.
it's not very many.
It would probably be more appropriate to look at this on a stratified random sample that would look at both rural and urban areas. And we could do that. Whether you want it to be statistically significant is another thing, because that gets more expensive.
It's about six sites.
Percent. Sound good? That's about six. Committee members, 10?
Mm-hmm.
We have consensus on 10%?
Sure.
Okay. Mr. Chairman, a random sample of large, yeah. Medium, small,
I think so.
Urban, yeah. And rural.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Okay. So, okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Anyone else would like to testify on House Bill 3977 that has not had an opportunity to?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, for the record, I'm Michelle Deister with the League of Oregon Cities. Good morning. The League supports the extension of the state 911 tax because these revenues provide funding to ensure that Oregonians will receive timely assistance in the event of an emergency. 911 tax revenue will also help to successfully implement the FCC Phase 2 mandate for wireless location and callback technology and other enhancements. This is an expensive initiative that requires special equipment and training. At the same time, most cities are faced with population growth and inflationary pressures, which, acting together, exceed the growth in revenue required to maintain existing 911 service levels. Local resources are stretched thin, and for this reason, we cannot support the portions of the bill that divert 911 tax revenues to other purposes and effectively diminish the distributions available for 911 call answering activities. With regard to the consolidation plans required by House Bill 3977, the League supports the Dash 2 amendments, which clarify that the plans are to be submitted jointly by all PSAPs in the county. We feel that local communities are in a better position than the state to make decisions regarding the delivery of 911 services at the local level.
You made a comment in terms of the dollars available is diluted by the decision to spend dollars elsewhere. In terms of, how do you come to that conclusion?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, it's my understanding that the funds which would be distributed for state police communications equipment might lead to that eventuality.
Larry, just correct me if I'm wrong, in terms of what was in the governor's recommended budget is there, and the dollars for the state police are not coming out to diminish that, the excess collection. Is that a correct statement?
If I understand your question right, the bill as it's written right now would take $1.75 million out of the enhanced 911 subaccount, which currently is anticipating to have about a $9.5 million beginning balance. So it's adequate, and given the amount of revenue it's estimated in this biennium, if the sunset's lifted, it will have more than enough to take care of proposed expenses for Phase 1, possibly some Phase 2 expenses. So it's not creating a situation where they won't be able to meet expenses.
Because in the state police budget, we took 911 to a limited fund, gave 100% in terms of what the governor's recommended budget was, more.
Actually, we increased the limitation.
Increased limitation. So the diversion of the dollars would not impact PSAPs.
Mistake. Thank you.
Any questions? Is there anyone else who would like to testify?
Senate convenes at 10:15.
Dallas. Dallas called and got everybody excused. So if we do a call, we're working here. Please.
Good morning, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. I am Forrest Soth, a member of the Beaverton City Council for over 20 years. Been involved with these issues for a number of years. I also serve as chair of the Washington County Consolidated Communications Agency, which we call WACA, which is the E911 system for Washington County. And I have served as chair for over 5 years. With me is Roxanne Brown, who is the executive director of our agency. We support this bill because of the fact that without it, come July 1, a good share of our people would be suffering. We represent 445,000 residents and people in Washington County. We are an unusual agency in that we are under ORS 190, consisting of 18 different jurisdictions, having to do when it's, to put it very simply, it's a pooling arrangement by which we have an intergovernmental agreement. And it has worked very well for Washington County because of the cooperative nature that we enjoy. But the ramifications of not funding continually are enormous because the at the present time, we get about $1.5 million per year from these funds. But the other part of that is that without these funds, such things as our Master Street Address Guide, which is mandated by state law, as well as the telephone trunk costs, the Master Street Database maintenance, mapping costs, all of these kinds of ramifications of non-funding amount to about $3 million within our budget. So, and the budget right now makes up about 23% of our total budget. But the one thing that we do not support or have some very serious reservations about is a diversion of these funds for purposes other than that which they were intended to develop and to fund. So for all of those reasons, we support this 3977, but with those reservations, and I thank you very much for your attention and your courtesy in allowing us here, and I'll be happy to answer questions if there are any.
Okay. Is there any questions? Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr.
Appreciate you taking the time to come down. Is there anyone else who would like to testify in House Bill 3977 that has not had an opportunity? Hearing and seeing none, we will close the public hearing on House Bill 3977, open work session, House Bill 3977.
Move the dash two amendments to...
Senator Duncan moves the dash two amendments House to House Bill 3977. Larry?
Yes, Chair and committee members, if I could also request that we modify the, or at some point include amendment to the bill that would allow for inclusion of an increase to the other funds expenditure limitation for the state police for $39,500,000 for the State Police Office of Emergency Management. This would be a supplemental limitation to the limitation established in Senate Bill 5538.
So Senator Duncan is going to modify his motion.
Yes, that's what that
for
was
unanimous the, consent.
That was my intent with the original motion.
To include Larry's comments. So is there any objection? Hearing none, so ordered.
Chair,
we need to fill in the
yes,
blank.
Chair, let's see. We need the minute.
You just have to ask for unanimous consent.
Mr. I ask unanimous consent to include on line 8, House Bill 3977, to add 10% of the cities and counties.
Is there any objection to unanimous consent to add to fill in the blank with a 10%? Which would include suspension of the rules. Is there an objection? Hearing seeing none, so ordered. I'd just like to make a point on the record in terms of it was not state police's desire to use the 911 dollars. It was a legislative leadership decision in terms of it is our intent that state police is the only opportunity for a statewide secondary answering point. I don't think it's inconsistent with the public's need and desire for public safety. I think it's appropriate and it will help us out in a lot of other areas as well. Any further comments?
Mr. Chair, I move House Bill 3977 as amended to the full Ways and Means Committee with a due pass recommendation.
Senator Duncan moves House Bill 3977 as amended to the full Ways and Means Committee with a due pass recommendation. Representative Patridge.
Mr. Chair, I will provide a cursory vote to the chair.
to move this. I had assurances from the co-chair as well as the chair that we will have an opportunity to visit the Dash 4 amendments either before it goes to full or catch it as it comes around the turn.
I appreciate that. There's another issue that I'm here dealing with Gilliam and Sherman and Wheeler counties that I'm hoping we can work out as well. That was not able to be part of this today. So with that, if there's an objection, hearing seen none. So with that, without any other business, we are adjourned.